From iAfrican Media, this is iAfrican Bites, a podcast that features commentary on African news, insights, opinions, and analysis with tech industry leaders and professionals. The podcasts are from interviews conducted by the iAfrican team, whether at events or when needed for commentary. I'm Badawun Kotsokwane, host and editor-in-chief for iAfrican.com, spelled www.iafrican.com. As cryptocurrencies and other digital assets have become more popular in mainstream, governments and regulators from around the world have been struggling to keep up with the pace of change. Now, some countries have embraced these assets, while others have taken a much more cautious approach. In this episode of iAfrican Bites, we're exploring the current state of crypto asset regulation, the challenges facing regulators, and what the future might hold for this fast-evolving space. Joined by Professor Sylvia Papadopoulos from the University of Pretoria, we get insights on the latest developments and what they mean for the broader crypto ecosystem. Southern African Bites. Thank you for joining us on our podcast, iAfrican Bites. Welcome, Professor Sylvia, to your inaugural episode.
Yes, it is. Thank you very much.
Prof, representing the University of Pretoria, you're hosting a webinar on crypto assets and consumers, together with the United States Attorney General Alliance. Now, walk us through the expert of panelists that will be contributing to the body of knowledge there.
Okay, I think I'm going to start off with our co-hosts. They are an alliance of all the attorney generals in the United States. And then they have a branch, AGA Africa, which deals with cultivating knowledge and cooperation on joint legal concerns. So our collaboration between AGA, AGA Africa, and the University of Pretoria aims to bring together high-level discussions on topics that are contemporary and relevant, and to find synergies in our legal systems to see the, what we can learn from one another's experiences and ways of dealing with them, because, you know, they are quite different. So that's where we have had a series of these webinars. And the newest one is on the 28th of February on crypto exchange collapses mostly, and whether or not this justifies a regulation of the crypto industry, as you will be, or many of your listeners or watchers would know. South Africa is quite at the forefront of by issuing regulations for crypto, and with the recent events in the United States around fintech and crypto assets, with the FTX whole debacle around that collapse, it was decided that this was a very topical issue. It needed discussion, and we've managed to put together quite a nice program representative of both Africa and the US. So we will have speakers from South Africa and the USA, both in South Africa. We will be speaking to Craig Peterson, who is a digital forensics practitioner who is involved in the prosecution of our own crypto exchange collapse members. That is the Mirror Trading Industries, or the MTI collapse. He's busy prosecuting members of that scheme. And that'll be followed by Jonathan Green, who is a former US, a former assistant US attorney and a senior counsel at the Securities and Exchange Commission in the USA. And he has personal experience with the case of FTX and Sam Bankman-Fried, who is accused of crimes. And then it's followed by Professor Hilary Allen, who is a professor of law and the associate dean at the American University Washington College of Law. And she has specifically address the issue of regulating crypto and Bitcoin and similar kinds of assets, and has addressed the US government at various levels. So she's very high profile, and some of her views may surprise people on the regulation of cryptocurrency without giving away too much on what she's going to be speaking about. And then we move more on to an African approach to crypto. So we have a very dynamic speaker from Mauritius, Jessica Nager. She is the CEO of the Mindex Group, and she will be discussing fintech and crypto assets from a Mauritius perspective. She also has a lot of knowledge and is intimately involved with cryptocurrency regulation from the Seychelles perspective. We then follow that with Eugene De Toy, who is the head of the regulatory framework at the Financial Sector Conduct Authority here in South Africa, who was involved with the issuing of the regulations around crypto assets and fintech in South Africa, which we all know is a brand new aspect in South Africa. And then it ends up with a chat from Catherine Aspuro, who is from the FTC, or the Federal Trade Commission's Bureau of Consumer Protection. She heads up that, and she will be looking at some of the initiatives in one or two of the US states regulating crypto assets from a US perspective. So you get a nice feel of a little bit of what's happening in Africa, as well as what is happening in USA. And I think the overall theme of this is, you know, what can we learn from one another experiencing very similar criminal collapses of exchanges, and different, perhaps different regulatory approaches to the problem, and then, you know, engagement with the audience and discussion with the audience on what would be an ideal way forward. Not that I believe we'll get to the answers, because I think it's quite complex, but it is an interesting and necessary discussion.
In fact, Prof, let's start right there. What are these complex issues you're referring to?
Things will, you know, the crypto market and these events will strengthen regulators' determination to rein in the industry. And as we have seen, there are already measures that are being taken. And the issues that we have is obviously, how do you define something which is evolving at a rapid speed? You know, definitions of a crypto asset. You know, some people would have a more cryptocurrency kind of definition. Others are going for a more broader definition of a crypto asset, not really ready to recognize it as a form of fiat currency. There are also, you know, permutations. You don't want this regulation to go too far, and to hinder progress, because there's a lot of good that can come out of these kinds of innovations. Things like access to banking, access to investment, which may not always be available. You know, Africa suffers with a very large unbanked population, which effectively excludes them from economic activity in a meaningful way. And these innovations stand to, you know, introduce them in a way that would be beneficial, that they could have meaningful engagement in economic activity. We've also seen that, you know, the innovation in fintech goes beyond just cryptocurrencies and investment and that kind of thing. It goes into insurance, which is a very big part of the economic sector. And you know, it's how broad do you take this legislation? Can you take it too broad and too far? And of course, fintech is a big disruptor and in financial services. You have digital payment platforms, which is more or less what these exchanges were in a varied form. And then we're also seeing, I mean, we have central bank issued digital currencies. The UK is talking about moving to the digital pound. So, you know, fintech has the potential to deliver benefits to consumers through improved access to financial products, greater flexibility, better service delivery, competition and competitive pricing. And therefore, if you're a regulator, the temptation to over-regulate needs to be very carefully balanced. So you need to cover the risks, but you need to also allow the benefits that innovation can bring to flourish in the market.
Now, sometime last year in 2022, the South African Revenue Service, SARS, issued a statement that they would soon be announcing how crypto assets would be taxed. Can you shed light into these developments? And what's the current position on this?
As far as I am aware, they did make those adjustments. And that's actually, and then they very recently, after the crypto asset regulations came out from the Financial Sector Conduct Authority, they also updated their definition to include crypto assets in its broader the way that the Financial Sector Conduct Authority regulations define it. So it's a bit broader than what they initially worked on. And they were, as far as I know, treating it as an asset. So income has to be declared from it. And they were levying taxes in accordance with the Act on those things. Obviously, because of the high unregulated and it's obviously something that's very hard to determine and to trace, but they are working on methods in doing this. And I think by requiring crypto asset traders to register with the Financial Sector Conduct Authority is going to go a long way to helping SARS trace these assets and the income derived from them.
Many crypto investors are attracted to crypto assets due to their unregulated characteristic. Now, is this webinar event an attempt to advance an academic viewpoint on why should crypto assets be regulated?
In my personal opinion, I think it's very important to have balance. You've got to remember that access to financial services is a key of democracies. Access to finance can make us move closer to achieving financial inclusion. FinTech has this potential because it lowers costs, it increases accessibility, and it allows for more tailored financial services. But I also do know that, I mean, if you look at the amounts that people have lost with crypto assets and cryptocurrencies in particular, I mean, we are talking about, if I just have a look here quickly, FTX, they haven't quantified it yet, but they are talking about $8 billion that have gone missing from FTX. Miritrade International, MTI, wasn't quite as high, but it's still an eye-watering amount of $1.7 billion that went missing there. It's clear that you cannot allow that kind of money to disappear around down a hole of no accountability, no responsibility. It's people's livelihoods that are taken down with this, and there's not a reasonable chance of getting it back. So I think you need to be very, very careful with the balance. I think you need to promote and enhance the products. You need to give freedom to the innovators to work. But at the same time, there are people and there are victims at the other end. I was also reading a report, I think it was yesterday, about the fact that consumers in South Africa particularly are some of the most targeted in crypto scams. So, you know, investing in crypto is also not as straightforward and easy as it seems. And there are a lot of fraudsters out there who are taking people's money, and there is nothing that really stops them except for if they are reported for crime and theft. So, you know, it needs to be balanced. There are definitely consumers and people who need protection, but you do need to be very careful that you don't overregulate.
How would you characterize South Africa's crypto maturation from an adoption point and from a regulation point? Are we moving at a speed that's reflective of the constant change, or are we just simply just playing catch up?
I think we have made an important move forward with the Financial Sector Conduct Authority regulations. It remains, obviously, because they're only fully implementable and enforceable, I think, from July this year, 2023, I think, is the date when all parties who are trading with or dealing in crypto assets need to be registered and meet the Financial Sector Conduct Authority requirements. So we will only see the net effect of those regulations and whether, in fact, they do what they set out to do a year after that. It's very difficult, you know, when new legislation is put into place and comes into force, it's very difficult to predict how it will affect the industry, if it will affect the industry, and if it will, you know, meet its intended aims and goals. So it usually takes about a year to 2 years before we start seeing the effects. So, for example, big pieces of legislation such as the Consumer Protection Act, for example, it took at least 3 or 4 years before the first cases came through the courts, before we could actually see how this was playing out. And also, it took business a long time to adapt their systems and their procedures to the Consumer Protection Act. And I think you're going to see the same with this, although the Financial Sector Conduct Authority in South Africa is one of the institutions that really is very good at their job. So I am sure that once the deadline for registration has passed, we will see very quick action on the fraudsters that are available or that they know of.
Now, Prof, this webinar slogan is interestingly coined. Is it time to rein in the wild frontier? Now, in closing, explain this to us. What does this mean?
Well, I think, you know, up until these crypto exchange collapses, there was a lot of positivity and a lot of support. I mean, you can just have a look or track the value of Bitcoin, for example, as the most famous form of crypto assets, and how its value increased. So there was a lot of positivity around it, a lot of uptake, and people were really looking for something that would lift financial services. And they saw it in the form of crypto assets. Then you suddenly got one of the biggest crypto exchanges in the world collapsing. And very shortly after that, a whole lot of your biggest cryptocurrency dealers and exchanges have all one by one shut down. And they're calling it the Great Crypto Collapse, which shows you that completely unregulated, things can get a bit wild and run away from us quicker than we think. So I think it's just a question on, should we regulate? How should we regulate? And how far should we pull this industry in?
Thank you for listening to iAfrican Bites. Please share your feedback with us on our socials. On Twitter at iAfrican. On LinkedIn at iAfrican.com. And check out our other podcasts, The Tefo Mahapi Show, Take Legal Matters, and The Lead Creator, on all podcast streaming platforms. And also make sure to head over to www.iafrican.com. That is iafrican.com/radio. And subscribe for notifications. iAfrican Bites is an iAfrican Media original show. Produced by Nzalo Mbangana, content producer and host Madon Kotokwane, and content manager Machabe Mabunda.